Welcome to Healthy Her, the podcast designed to inspire women to lead lives filled with health and happiness. I'm Dr. Amy Brenner, your host discussing nutrition, hormones, aesthetics, sexual health, and more. Join us each week as we dive into feeling better, looking better, and living better. Well, hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Healthy Her. If you've ever been scared to take hormone replacement therapy, or your friends or even your doctors told you that hormone therapy is dangerous, you're going to want to tune into this episode because we have a really famous guest with us today, Dr. Jeffrey Dash, and we're going to get to the truth about hormone replacement therapy. So welcome, Dr. Dash. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Amy. It's a pleasure to be here. And we were just talking about, earlier you sent me an article from Lancet, which did a meta-analysis showing that hormone replacement causes increases risk for breast cancer. And we were sort of dissecting that study. Number one, it was a meta-analysis, which is prone to errors. And number two, the study itself said that vaginal estrogen is not associated with increased risk for breast cancer. So that right away kind of gives it away that, you know, there was some confusion with that study. And what we see frequently in the medical literature is the synthetic progestins, which are chemically altered versions of progesterone, are frequently lumped in together with progesterone. They're very different, and they should not be lumped together. These synthetic progestins do have carcinogenic potential, and they do cause breast cancer. That's been demonstrated in many studies, animal studies. There's actually an animal model in mice where if you give medroxyprogesterone, a synthetic progestin, to mice, you can fairly consistently induce breast cancer in mice. You can't do that with estrogen. As a matter of fact, studies were done in mice, genetically modified mice that have increased breast cancer risk, and we give them estrogen, progesterone, it's actually breast cancer protective. It reduces the incidence of breast cancer in those genetically modified mouse models. And then there's another model of breast cancer in mice. That's where you take human breast cancer cells and inject them into mice. That's called a xenograft. So when you have mice that have little implanted breast cancer nodules from human breast cancer cells and give them estrogen and progesterone, that actually inhibits the breast cancer in the mice. So in terms of animal models, the synthetic progestins induce breast cancer, the human bioidentical estrogen, the natural estrogen, is protective. How do we know it's protective? Well, there are a number of studies. The one that I wanted to show you is easiest to look at is the Women's Health Initiative study.
And that's the study that we've done a couple podcasts on, that just dissecting into that podcast that we can link in the show notes what that was. But we dissected that before. But that's the hormone, or that's the study that everybody freaked out about and stopped taking hormones.
You know, when the study came out in 2002, that was the study. They studied 10,000 women, postmenopausal women. Then they randomized them to a hormone preparation called Prempro, which is Premarin plus Provera, which is medroxyprogesterone. That's it's synthetic estrogen. That's the same synthetic synthetic progestin that we were just talking about, that is known to be carcinogenic in humans and animals. That, as a matter of fact, if you go to the university and ask them, how do you induce cancer, breast cancer in your mice? They'll tell you, we use a synthetic progestin. It's called the MPA, or medroxyprogesterone, model of breast cancer. And that was, you'll find it in the medical literature under Dr. Lanieri. I think it was published in 2009 by Dr. Lanieri. And I'm happy to show you that study if you can give me the screen share. If you turn on the screen share for participants, I can show you that.
Yep, working on it.
So the first arm, there were two arms of the Women's Health Initiative. The first arm, 5,000 women took the PremPro and the other 5,000 a placebo. And that was halted after approximately 5 years because of increased breast cancer, clots, and heart disease in the PremPro treated group. And that hit the papers, the newspapers, and there was a dramatic reduction in hormone usage. Menopausal hormone usage dropped down to very low numbers because doctors stopped prescribing hormone replacement and patients stopped asking for it. 2 years later, in 2004, the second arm study was published in JAMA. The second arm was, again, 10,000 women randomized to hormone replacement or to placebo. These women had hysterectomies, which meant they didn't need the progestin, the synthetic progestin, the bad one that the first arm, the women in the first arm received. That really bad synthetic progestin called MPA, medroxyprogesterone, which is known to be carcinogenic. So the second arm, these women received the estrogen alone. In this case, it was Premarin, which is a horse estrogen. It's not human, but it's natural, comes from a horse, which is natural. And the data on that study, when they ended that study after approximately 5 years, the data showed a 23% reduction in breast cancer in the hormone treated group. We now have the 18-year follow-up data since that was first published in 2004, approximately 20 years ago. So we have the 18-year follow-up data, which shows remarkably a 45% reduction in mortality from breast cancer in the estrogen-treated group.
We don't ever hear about that estrogen lowers the risk of breast cancer. So where are all these doctors and patients getting the idea that estrogen causes breast cancer then?
It's not the estrogen, it's the synthetic progestin that's carcinogenic. Now, there are certain, hormone treatment, is somewhat nuanced. And when it comes to, the mass media, they like the sound bites. And we have medical research going back 50, 60 years, which shows that estrogen was actually used as a treatment for metastatic breast cancer back in the 1940s, 1950s. And they actually got a 30% remission rate in women with extensive metastatic breast cancer, 30% remission rate from the use of estrogen. So this idea has been around for a long time. When I was to answer your question a little more directly, why do people think that estrogen causes breast cancer? Part of the reason is estrogen is a growth factor for breast tissue. When estrogen levels are high, women will report breast fullness, breast tenderness, breast pain. If they have fibrocystic changes in the breast tissue, that will cause painful little areas in the breast stimulated by estrogen. So estrogen is a growth factor for breast cells, and it's also a growth factor for breast cancer cells. Breast cancer cells will actually recruit cells in the microenvironment, they're usually fibroblasts, to manufacture estrogen for the cancer cells. And this is true for all cancers. Cancers will upregulate growth factors, and there's a whole list of growth factors. There's epidermal growth factor. There's there's you name it. There's a whole list of growth factors which we can go through if we have more time. But estrogen for breast tissue and also for other types of cancers, we'll use estrogen as a growth factor. The idea is if you have an active cancer, you don't want to take estrogen or any other hormones because that can, they are frequently being used by the cancer as a growth factor. And some cancer cells will actually make their own estrogen. The research on estrogen and breast cancer goes way back, and perhaps the most prolific researcher is Jordan, Dr. Jordan, who ran a research lab in a number of different locations for many years, and he had an army of PhD students working in his labs studying breast cancer. And so what he found was, yes, indeed, estrogen will induce apoptosis in breast cancer cells after a period of estrogen deprivation. So as I said, it's a little more nuanced than just saying, well, estrogen causes breast cancer, or it kills breast cancer cells. So estrogen goes to the mitochondrial DNA, and it stimulates mitochondrial energy production. And if it does that in cancer cells, the cancer cells can't tolerate that, especially if there's been a lengthy period of estrogen deprivation. What happens is, and this has been studied and published, the breast cancer cells will upregulate the estrogen receptors on the outer membrane of the cells. That means they increase the number of estrogen receptors because they're starved of estrogen. They need that estrogen as a growth factor. So once the period of estrogen deprivation ends, the cancer cells are then flooded with estrogen. What happens is the signal goes to the mitochondria, which increases energy production, and the cancer cell can't tolerate it. The mitochondria then trigger programmed cell death, which is apoptosis of the cancer cells. The cancer cells then all undergo self-programmed suicide. And that will basically cure whatever cancer is there. So that's the idea of estrogen as a cure for breast cancer. According to Dr. Jordan, you have to have a period of estrogen deprivation to upregulate the estrogen receptors, and then the estrogen will act as a drug that induces apoptosis.
What are your thoughts on traditional medicine uses SERMs like tamoxifen to lower estrogen levels in the treatment of estrogen receptor positive breast cancer? It's hard for me to explain that to a patient. Like, okay, well, if estrogen doesn't cause breast cancer, why is my doctor wanting me to take tamoxifen when I get an estrogen receptor positive breast cancer?
Yeah, well, what Dr. Jordan says, Dr. Jordan is actually the inventor of tamoxifen. It came out of his lab. And tamoxifen represents a form of estrogen deprivation, blocks the estrogen receptors. So what he says is, you can use estrogen deprivation or an estrogen blocking drug, tamoxifen, an aromatase inhibitor drug like letrozole or exemestane. Those are very commonly used. And for the cancer cells that have a voracious appetite for estrogen as a growth factor, it works very nicely. But then after a period of use, the cancers become resistant. They always become resistant. So what happens is there is no reduction in mortality with the use of those drugs, because the cancer cells eventually upregulate the receptors, and the drug no longer works. So what Dr. Jordan says in his research, in his various lectures that he's given, is that if once the cancer becomes resistant to the estrogen blocker like tamoxifen or the aromatase inhibitor, then that's the point where giving estrogen will cause apoptosis, because that simulates a period of estrogen deprivation. So, and the really astute oncologists will know that, and we'll switch from the tamoxifen to the estrogen back and forth. After a period of, one will work and then stop working, and then they have to switch to the other one.
You have oncologists down in Florida that are okay with their breast cancer patients taking estrogen?
Well, once the tamoxifen and or the aromatase blockers stop working, the patient develops metastatic disease. They have nothing left to offer, right?
Yeah, I just don't have any oncologists here locally that are okay with letting people take hormone replacement therapy in the setting of breast cancer.
Well, there's actually quite a few doctors treating breast cancer survivors. They don't have active disease, but there are about 20 studies now of hormone replacement for breast cancer survivors. And what it shows is the women who are treated with hormone replacement have actually less recurrence than women who are not treated. And that was recently summarized by an oncologist by the name of Audrey Blooming, who also wrote a book on it called Estrogen Matters, which is available on Amazon. And he summarized all the medical studies. These are randomized control studies, there's I think that he found 17. 16 out of the 17 showed less recurrence in the hormone treated group. So, that's if you talk to mainstream conventional doctors, oncologists, et cetera, they'll tell you never give estrogen to breast cancer survivors. That's really not based on any actual medical studies. That's sort of a belief that's not based on science. The actual science will tell you that the hormone treated breast cancer survivors actually have reduced recurrence of breast cancer. And if we could do a screen share, I could show you that. I could show
Yeah.
you that data.
It sh you should be able to.
I should be able to. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Good. Can you see the
Yes.
screen share?
Yeah, that's
Okay. Well,
great. Great.
let's start off with the data for the Women's Health Initiative. This is the hazard ratio for three hormone trials. On the left is HERS, which is estrogen and progestin. This was a trial that was done just before the Women's Health Initiative, but they used a very similar hormone preparation with the synthetic progestin. And notice that there was a 30% increase in breast cancer. This is the Women's Health Initiative study, which you can see here, estrogen plus progestin. And it's very similar. It was a 26% increased breast cancer. Now, here's the group, the second arm group, which you can see with the green ellipse. I'll make it a little bigger. And you can see 0.77, which means a 23% reduction in breast cancer. So whenever you give a progestin, you get increased breast cancer. When you give estrogen alone, you get decreased breast cancer. Now here is the 18-year cumulative follow-up of the Women's Health Initiative study. So CEE is the conjugated equine estrogen, which is that's the Premarin, of course, estrogen. That's the estrogen they used in the Women's Health Initiative study. And then this is the MPA, which is medroxyprogesterone. And then the placebo group received a placebo, of course. So this is the breast cancer mortality. This is the number of women who died from breast cancer. Remember, there were roughly 5,000 women in each group, 5,000 women in the hormone group, 5,000 in the placebo group. This is the first arm. So there were 61 women who died of breast cancer in the estrogen plus medroxyprogesterone group. and there were 40 in the placebo group. So 61 is greater than 40 by 44%. Okay, so that continued, the cancer risk with the medroxyprogesterone continued on the 18-year follow-up. What about the second arm with the estrogen alone against placebo? There were 22 deaths from breast cancer in the hormone-treated group and 41 in the placebo group. Notice that both placebo groups had roughly the same number of deaths from breast cancer out of 5,000 women in each group. So this is a 45%, 22 is roughly 45% less than 41. So when you add the medroxyprogesterone, that increases your breast cancer by 44%. Estrogen alone, it decreases breast cancer by 45%.
Right.
Okay.
It amazes me that synthetic progestins, not only are they still on the market, but doctors are still using it. Just last week, I had a patient come in and she's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm on progesterone 5 milligrams half the month." I'm like, "No, I don't think that sounds like progesterone." And she's like, "No, it's definitely progesterone." And then I think people get fooled because the word is medroxyprogesterone. And so it amazes me that doctors are still prescribing synthetic progestins in 2024.
The synthetic progesterones actually do have a use for dysfunctional uterine bleeding, but I don't think they should be used for hormone replacement.
Yeah, I
But
couldn't agree more.
we do see it. We do see it's still being used for hormone replacement, which probably should, should be, that's a practice that probably should be halted with the information that we know now. And then, in terms of the, we talked about the Dr. Lanieri's study, which I'm going to show you in a second. Let me pull it up. Lanieri, breast cancer MPA mouse model. I think it was 2009. Let me see if I can. Oh, here it is. Okay. Okay, let's do another screen share. And can you see that?
I can.
Okay, so whoops. What did I do? Here's the MPA. Let's make that a little bigger. This is the MPA mouse model of breast cancer. Can you see that?
I can.
MPA is medroxyprogesterone. That's the same hormone that was used in the Women's Health Initiative study. This is Lanieri, Claudia Lanieri, published in 2009. So it's basically what they say is we developed a model of breast cancer with the administration of medroxyprogesterone in female mice that induces breast cancer with a mean latency of 52 weeks, incidence of 80%. So in other words, when they give medroxyprogesterone to mice, 80% of the mice will develop breast cancer over 52 weeks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so there's other, this is the most dramatic proof that medroxyprogesterone is carcinogenic. But we have a lot of human studies in women, the Women's Health Initiative study showing increased breast cancer in the medroxyprogesterone treated group is also proof that medroxyprogesterone is carcinogenic. And then, Dr. Jordan's group and others, for example, Dr. Burrell, studied the mechanism of how medroxyprogesterone induces breast cancer. And I think the best explanation for that is that at low doses, medroxyprogesterone blocks androgen receptors, blocks the testosterone receptors. It turns out testosterone is breast cancer preventive, downregulates the stimulation produced by estrogen. And so that Dr. Borel thinks that that is the mechanism, is the interference with the androgen receptors. So let me try to find that study for you, Borel. Yeah, here it is right here. Okay, can you see that?
I can.
I'll read it out to you. It says disruption of androgen receptor signaling by progestins may increase risk of developing breast cancer. Stephen Burrell, this was published in, what's the date on that? Maybe it's down here somewhere.
Yeah, so this is saying that giving the synthetic progestins, it blocks the androgen receptor, and that's why you have an increased
This,
risk of breast
exactly.
cancer.
This was 1995, which is way before the Women's Health Initiative. And there are other studies that, that confirm this. So you might, the other dramatic finding that really need to talk about is why is it that blocking testosterone receptors increases risk for breast cancer? And the answer to that is, as you might expect, testosterone, let me just change the lighting here. Testosterone is actually breast cancer preventive, and the most of that work has been done by a breast cancer surgeon, a lady surgeon in Dayton, Ohio, by the name of Rebecca Glazer. She's been inserting testosterone pellets into menopausal women for about 20 years now. She's very meticulous in collecting all of her data and publishes her data in the medical literature. And her findings show that the testosterone-treated menopausal women have a 40% reduction in breast cancer risk compared to the general population. There's a second independent testosterone menopausal hormone doctor by the name of Donowitz, Gary Donowitz, who did a similar study in his practice, and he found similar reduction in breast cancer with testosterone, 35 to 40%. So, if you look at the publications by Dr. Rebecca Glazer, she actually has breast cancer cases, women with large breast masses who have declined conventional treatment. They come to her clinic, and she treats them with a combination of testosterone and letrozole, which is an aromatase inhibitor. And she's published a number of these cases. They actually have regression and complete disappearance of the breast mass with that type of treatment.
Yeah, she actually puts the pellets into the breast right next to the tumor.
Exactly. And so that's very impressive. Shows that there is something to the idea that testosterone is breast cancer preventive. It's actually a very good treatment for breast cancer. So when we talk about what is the best hormone replacement program for the postmenopausal women, I believe that it should always include testosterone, if only for the reason that it's a major breast cancer preventive agent. And giving the synthetic progestins blocks the breast cancer protective activity of testosterone, and that's why you see an increase in the breast cancer in those women.
Now, Dr. Dosh, I know there are some studies out there with estrogen alone. I think it was that Lancet study that I sent you today that said there is a slight increased risk of breast cancer. Do you think that that's just we have the preponderance of evidence that estrogen is protective, and then just a small amount of studies that possibly say there is a slight increased risk of breast cancer, kind of like the testosterone data, that there's a small subset of studies that can be, you know, when you really dissect them, they're flawed, that say testosterone is harmful to the heart, but the majority of the studies of testosterone are very cardioprotective and fibrinolytic, because there are those occasional studies that say that estrogen does have an increased risk. Or do you think that they're kind of like my ABOG article, is it's just, it's confusing and it's just not accurate?
Yeah, all of the articles that I've ever found in the medical literature that say estrogen, you know, they basically will say hormone replacement causes breast cancer. And if you look closely at it, they're using a synthetic progestin. It's not only medroxyprogesterone, but many of the others, you know, there's a whole list of synthetic progestins, and many of them are similarly block androgen receptors, and those are carcinogenic. It's, you know, there's a confusion throughout the entire medical literature where synthetic progestins are lumped in together with natural progesterone, and they're very different. And you know, it's what I would call an error, one of the errors of modern medicine.
Yeah.
And you know, another error, you know, is this, and that has led to this fear of estrogen. If estrogen causes breast cancer, you should be able to induce breast cancer in laboratory animals by giving them estrogen. Can't be done. It doesn't induce breast cancer in animals. You know, it's true that estrogen is a growth factor for breast tissue and also for cancer cells. You know, it's sort of complicated. It's sort of like saying, me telling you or a patient, breathing oxygen will cause cancer. That's actually a true statement, because remember, when we breathe, that's our whole metabolic process requires oxygen. We're burning carbon and creating oxidative byproducts that's called reactive oxygen species that damage the DNA in the cell. And damaged DNA causes cancer. So breathing oxygen causes cancer. But unfortunately, we can't stop breathing oxygen. And lucky for us, we have you know, antioxidant system in each cell, which is mostly the glutathione system, that that quenches the reactive oxygen species and prevents. And then we also have a selenoprotein DNA repair system. So we not only do we have protection against damaging oxidative byproducts, but we also have we also have an ability to repair once the damage is done to the DNA. We have ability, the cell has the ability to repair the damage. So what happens if we find people that have genetic mutations, SNPs, it's called a SNP, a single nucleotide abnormality, in those mechanisms, that maybe they're antioxidant system, they have a mutation that in some pathway in the antioxidant system, or they have a mutation in the DNA repair mechanism. And that's not, we're describing the BRCA gene, the women who have a BRCA gene abnormality. That's a mutation in the selenoprotein repair mechanism. Give them selenium and it reduces their risk of breast cancer. That was study was done by Pawlowski, who gave BRCA gene women selenium and showed reduced risk for breast cancer. You know, cancer formation is more nuanced and more complicated. And you know, the other thing that happens is, although estrogen itself is not carcinogenic, there are metabolites of estrogen that are highly oxidative. To and remember, estrogen attaches directly to our DNA. That's what hormones do. They're receptors on our genetic material, and the estrogen increases transcription of proteins, regenerative proteins. So if instead of a normal estrogen molecule attaching to our DNA, it's a highly oxidized metabolite, that will damage the DNA. So the highly damaging oxidative metabolites, some women will have a genetic abnormality and ability to metabolize those. And that's now we're talking about the methylation pathway, which metabolizes estrogen metabolites, and the 4-hydroxyquinones, that's the name they give them. Those are the ones that are carcinogenic. And if we have a female with a mutation in the methylation pathway, then she has increased risk for breast cancer because she cannot metabolize in fast enough those damaging 4-hydroxyquinones.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Her. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a quick 5-star review on your podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to us and helps others discover our show. Do you have questions or want to discuss a particular topic? You can reach us by emailing ask@dramiebrenner.com or calling 513-204-8403 and leaving a voicemail. We might feature your question or comment in an upcoming episode, so don't miss out on the chance to be a part of the conversation. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. We appreciate your support and can't wait to have you back with us next time. Take care and remember, your Healthy Her journey begins with you. This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute medical advice, the practice of medicine, nursing, or other healthcare services. No patient-physician relationship is formed. The information in the podcast and any references, material, or links are at the sole discretion of the listener and not meant to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Listeners should not delay or disregard obtaining medical advice for any medical diagnosis or issues that they may have and should seek medical care or advice from their healthcare provider for any such conditions. We'll be right back.